And a pleasant good Tuesday afternoon to everybody. It is Tuesday, April the 10th, or the 9th, I should say. The 9th, April the 9th of 2024. Welcome into Sports Lounge Live. This is episode 290. And we're going to wrap up all the tournaments, of course. We'll get them done this week. The NFL's always got news somewhere. And probably a lot of baseball too. So we will hit it. I imagine one of the big baseball topics, so stay around for this one, is we're going to talk about pitching injuries. So we'll hit that when we get there.
All right. Well, hello everybody, and we're gonna go. We've got a lot here, so we'll see how it goes, how it flows. But first of all, we're going to talk about the tournaments, and men and women, of course. And we're going to start with the men's tournament. And first, on Saturday night, Purdue beat NC State 63-50. And now 50. And that broke the NC State 9-game winning streak. They were trying to match what UConn did years ago in 11 when they won 11 in a row and won the whole thing. But that's quite a streak. They were the 10th seed in the ACC. And you got to give them a lot of credit. And
tip your hat to NC State. And by the way, and Kevin Kugler even mentioned this on the radio. Tip of the cap to Gary Hahn. He's now retiring from NC State. So he can now go enjoy the golfers.
That's right. Yeah, I guess he maybe doesn't do any baseball for him, but no, he was a good announcer. I like Gary Hahn. Okay, and then the other, that was the first final, therefore, for Purdue since 1969, the only other one they ever went to when they played UCLA. And then UConn beat Connecticut 86-72 in a typical UConn game. Now, I'll give you a little hint. They've now won 12 in a row by 13 or more in the tournament, and that is something. Even UCLA, who had the dominance from 67 through 73 and probably won about 28 games in a row because the tournament was smaller. So maybe you'd play four to win it, maybe five, but four, let's say assume four. They won like 28 games in a row, which is amazing. And UConn's won 12 in a row now to do the repeat, as we know. But 13 or more, I mean, that's amazing. You look up, you say, oh, this is a close game. Alabama was giving them a hard time until like the second half. And then, you know, they just stopped and UConn just suddenly their head bite. It's like grass growing.
And to be honest, Chris, Alabama did not play badly.
No, they didn't.
No,
they did not.
No, they did not. Alabama looked really good. The two teams that gave them the best game, I think, were Alabama and Illinois, I think.
Well, Illinois was a weird one because that was strange. They were giving them a great game. But then they had 30 points in a row scored against them. So it's pretty hard to turn around and say, boy, you gave them a good game. They were a good game up to the end of the first half. But then these other teams at least, okay, UConn might get six, and then they get three, and then they get four more, and the other team gets two. Illinois just got throttled. And then on Monday night,
Connecticut must have just made the decision, though, with Illinois that they were just going to let Marcus Dumask have his points and stop Terrence Shannon. Because, I mean, to be fair, Dumask played a good game against Connecticut, but nobody else did.
And UConn won it on last night over Purdue 85-70, same kind of game. And
75-60.
Yeah, that's right, 75-60. And thing is, it was the same kind of game. Just you look, first half was close. Then you look up, they're up by three, they're up by six, they're up by 10, you know, and suddenly it's basically over. So their repeat, of course, since the tournament was expanded to more than 64 or more, they're the third team to do it because that's Florida did it in 06 and 07, and Duke did it in 91 and 92. And the other repeaters, Oklahoma and A&M did it, and they're now Oklahoma State, Kentucky. Then we had San Francisco. You know, that was the Bill Russell teams. Cincinnati did it. That was Oscar Robertson, at least for 1 year. UCLA, 64. They're still, I don't care. No one's going to match what they did. And even if it's smaller number of games, to do what they did. It's like the Celtics, 11 out of 12, 13. UCLA did 10 out of 12. They did 64, 65, and 67 through 73, and then 75. And you're not going to see that again. And I know it's a smaller tournament, but that's just so dominant. It was unbelievable. And then you get to Duke in 91 and 92, Florida 06, 07, Connecticut 23, 24. So there you go for the men.
I think what helped Connecticut, I think you would agree, Bill, being in Big Ten country, Connecticut had a 7-2 guy that could compete with Zach Edey. Most people don't have that.
Yes, but they were in foul. He was in foul trouble a lot of the time. He wasn't in
that,
the game.
Yeah, that's why I say, and they had somebody who could do that because most people, he just towers over them.
Yeah.
Well, you had three big men, like I said, during this tournament, and that hasn't happened. Like I said, it was a throwback. I said this last week, a throwback to the 84. And I think the amazing thing with UConn, they did it 2 years in a row. The final was the same score, 75-60. Yep.
One observation with the men's tournament, because I know we're going to get to the women here in a minute, but one observation that I had with the tournament in its entirety, was it me? I thought the number of close games and things like that
was way down
this year.
You had some,
but even in the first couple of rounds, you didn't have the big shockers that you normally do.
No, you didn't.
Oh, and I won't sing One Shining Moment. I already promised.
We wouldn't want to do that.
Okay. Well, getting to the women, South Carolina on Friday night beat NC State once again. The NC State season ended for them 78-59. Not as much of a Cinderella story for NC State. They were heralded a lot of year, but South Carolina beat them. Again, pulled away. Similar to UConn. They were close at halftime, and they just took care of it in the second half. And then the best game of the women's final four was Iowa and UConn, and that was a close one. It did come down to the wire, and Iowa did beat UConn 71-69. And I guess they kind of did the opposite philosophy there, where they decided they were going to try to stop Caitlin Clark as opposed to, you know, yeah. And
yep.
And they did a good job on that in the first half, but then other people stepped up in the second half. I don't think Caitlin had a dominant game, but the other people for Iowa stepped up, and UConn led pretty much all the first half and into the early the third quarter. Then Iowa got ahead, but it was always close. So that was a good game.
Now, one thing, Chris, before we go on, to discuss this game. There was a charge called with 3 seconds to go on UConn.
Yep.
And the debate really wasn't, was there a charge? There was. Everybody that I've heard, yes, there was. So the debate was, do you call it at that time, you know, because in a sense, it kind of decided the game. I guess my view is, and I would like to think I would have the same view had it gone the other way, but if you're going to call it with 30 minutes to go in the game, you have to make the same call.
Yeah.
As much as you don't like it, and then, of course, we had idiots out there. Gabby Marshall, who took the charge for Iowa, had to delete her social media account because of these dumb people who were threatening her. Well, hey, why were you threatening her? She didn't call the foul.
No.
I mean, we really need to get past. If you're to the point where you need, whether it's her, whether it's Angel Reese, whomever it is, if you're to the point where you need to threaten somebody, you probably need to give up sports.
One of the problems that I think we're going to find now as women's basketball becomes more prominent is men and women take things differently.
They do.
Than each other. Yeah. And so if you complain that because a charge was, you know, you took a charge in the NBA, you know, basically the guy would say, oh, blow it out your ear. Women don't do that as well, you know, and so I think that's going to be a problem.
They were talking about it on our broadcast after the game. And by the way, I will give credit to Rob Brooks and Tiffany Reedy when they called, and you guys heard the audio when they called.
Yeah.
She did not say, oh, great call or anything like that. She said, quote, they're not showing us a replay in the building. I don't know if it was a good call.
Right.
That was her quote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She just said that.
Yep, that's right. And then we got the Sunday afternoon, then we
big guy giveth, the big guy taketh away from Hannah Stolke. She played a great game Friday night. Look at this.
Well, South Carolina again. Iowa broke off to a big 20-9 lead right off the bat, and it was slowly coming down. And then South Carolina kind of caught them at halftime, and then pulled ahead. And then Iowa came back. They got it down to like 5 with maybe 4 minutes to go, something like that. But they ended up losing it 87-75.
They had to foul them at the, you know how that works out.
Right. Yeah. But they did make a bit of a comeback to get
they
it to
did.
5. And, you know, South Carolina has now won 3 in 8 years, and they won in 2 of the last 3. And South Carolina was 38-0. So, and I didn't even know. See, that's how much things were all about Caitlin Clark and LSU and UConn and other things. I didn't even know they were undefeated until they won that game. And I'm like, oh, are they?
One loss in 2 years. The only loss last year was to Iowa. And I think the year before in 22 when they won the championship, I think they only had one loss that year also. So they've had two losses in 3 years.
And my, so by the way, for those who don't know, my Hannah Stahlke comment, obviously she led the game. She was scored more than Caitlin Clark did on Friday night. But then come Sunday afternoon, Hannah Stahlke is 6'2", and I'm not sure the girl's name for South Carolina, the big 6'7" girl, but that
Johnson,
girl
Raven Johnson.
No, it's Camila something or but anyway.
Oh, Cardoza.
She's about 5 inches taller than Stahlke, and with her arm, you know, her wingspan, it's even tall because our local show was saying, I don't know why they jumped the ball because Hannah Stahlke had no chance at that TF.
So that was the 10th undefeated women's team, and that's pretty good. 6 for UConn, Baylor in 11-12, Tennessee 97-98, Texas 85-86, and now, you know, so there you go. The women's game, that women's game drew 14 million.
They changed it. 18.7.
How did they? So they got a more accurate reading or something?
Hold on, Sean. The 14 was preliminary, and 18 was all the numbers put together.
And in the second quarter, it was up to $24 million at one time. Now, in comparison, the $18 million that watched it, very similar, another $24 million in the second quarter was comparison to Michigan, Ohio State, and just a couple million less than this year's Thanksgiving Day NFL game. I mean, and it doubled, their $18.7 million doubled last year's ratings, and it broke both of the 83 and 86 championships for women, and it broke their record that they had just broken when they broke those two. It broke that record from Monday night by 6 million people, and it was the highest rated sporting event of the entire weekend.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The thought now is, as we shift just a little, the thought now is with, obviously, Caitlin Clark goes to the WNBA. You're going to have Angel Reese. Probably some of the South Carolina kids will come out too. They're going to have a pretty good WNBA draft 6 days from now. So the girls really don't have any time to do anything because the draft is a week from last night.
I
think it would be a shocker if Clark does not go to Indianapolis because that number one, that would just be a great fit. But there's some other girls that are going to, and you wonder, and we don't know the answer to it, what is that going to do for WNBA ratings? We're going to find out.
It should help. It should help. I think it will. It's tough in the summer. I mean, hey, when people were starved for sports, I think the NBA and the NHL did okay in the summer.
They did.
It's hard. It's like spring football. It's not the time of year people expect it, so it's a little bit harder to do. So we'll see. But I think they'll be better.
I think Clark will. She's a figure that is. I mean, there's some who for whatever reason, don't like her or whatever, but she's a pretty big-name figure for the women's game, and I think she's going to do a lot for the women's game. And, you know, you had these – Lynette Woods, I guess is her name. She had to come out yesterday, and it's like, I don't know why these people just can't, you know, be graceful and whatever, but apparently she had the scoring, you know, the all-time women's scoring record or whatever. Well, she didn't break my record because I didn't have the 3-point line and this and this. Be gracious. Bill, go ahead.
I just make a quick point. Right now, as far as I know, the Fever do not have a contract for TV and or radio and just been streaming online. Well, in my small opinion, that's going to have to change.
As soon as they draft her and they know for sure that they're going to have her, I think you'll see them sign up. Is it AN 1070 got anything to do, Bill? You know, or 1430? They got nothing.
Listen, 20 if you're at 3.5 in the ratings, you better find something to do.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even be surprised, Bill, if there's a radio, you know, for her playing there. I would not be one bit surprised if a Des Moines station didn't try to.
Yeah, there's going to be a network,
because her family still lives in West Des Moines. So
that happened here. We had Doug Flutie when he went to the New Jersey Generals, as popular as he was here. We got New Jersey Generals games for a year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if somebody in Des Moines, you know, would pick up the game.
Done by Charlie Steiner, by the way.
And unfortunately, this even happened to San Antonio the last couple of years that they had the team. not a lot of NBA teams have radio broadcasts.
Not the WNBA.
Not a lot of them do, but I already know the first time her and Angel Reese face off, you know that's going to be a national ESPN game or something. Yeah,
that's
it'll
right.
be on, it on. Well, or yeah. them or was it ESPN and CBS Sports Network that carry the games?
ESPN, ABC, CBS, and CBS Sports Network cover them.
Yeah, they'll probably. I bet they put it on CBS and ABC together, and I put it at the best time they can, maybe a Sunday afternoon or something, you know. But we got to see the other tournament to kind of finish. We got Seton Hall beating Indiana State 79-77. That was kind of a weird game. That was a game of runs. Boy, I only listened to parts of it, but I guess Seton Hall was down by about 7 with a couple minutes to go, and they got 9 in a row and won the game. So.
And then they were, but in the early in the second half, Chris, they were up by 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm, they were. And Seton Hall won the NIT in 1953, and I think it was the first time that the Big East has won both the NIT and the NCAA. I think I heard that last time in the UConn game.
But by the way, Mr. Cohen did not do the Seton Hall game in the NIT.
No, he didn't. Yeah, the color guy was there. I heard him. And
yes,
Dave
Popkin is his name.
Yeah, St. Louis beat Minnesota 69-50 in the women's NIT. They'd been 12-17. They ended up 22-18. So I don't know how they even got in the tournament, but they did. And the MVP.
By the way, Chris, you always say that I can find them everywhere. Dave Popkin did color for the iCubs for 1 year.
There you go. MVPs for the tournaments, Tristan Newton for the men and Kamala Cardozo that we were talking about for South Carolina. And so there you go for the – that's the college basketball season is over. But we got some college notes here too. Iowa-LSU, we talked about the women's record, and that was shattered. You know, we had 12 million the other day, and then it already went up. And a lot of this is I'm reading through it just to get through it here. Just a whole lot about that. Angel Reese will declare for the WNBA, as we mentioned, because that was made official last week. Article in Athletic written by Andrew Marchand, and we can talk about this for a couple minutes. It's speculation, but
we do have hands. Bill in Chicago. We'll get to you guys in just a minute here. So hold on. Yeah, we'll get right to you.
Article by Andrew Marchand and Stuart Mandel about maybe an 80-team Division I thing with geographical divisions, so you wouldn't be running all over the country. No conferences, just different divisions. I mean, this has got to be, would take a few years to work out if it even happens. And Sean and I played with it for our areas and came up with it. Sean's got the whole country mapped out.
I read that article, but here's the way it would work. 70 of the teams would be guaranteed. The bottom 10, you know how they do it in the Euro soccer leagues and things, how you can be put out or whatever. The bottom 10 apparently would be able to be relegated, as they call it.
Yes.
Yeah, what it is, the 70 teams that are in the five power conferences now, and SMU, because they're coming in, they're already guaranteed. So you would take 10 from the group of five, put them in a division, and they could be relegated and, set up and down. But my thing is, why not relegate some of these? Because if you're Vanderbilt or Rutgers or some of these, what's your incentive? Yeah. And this is a group, it's called College Sports Tomorrow. And I teased this a little bit this morning, so I'll tell you. And what it is, it's a makeup of several presidents from colleges. Roger Goodell's assistant, his lieutenant, is involved in it. The owner of the 76ers, the man who was the agent and part of the search committee for finding several of the conference commissioners. There's athletic directors, of course, Fox and ESPN are both involved in this. There's people in them. That's why Andrew Marchand was involved with it. And Stuart Mandel's supposed to be on ESPN Austin one of these mornings talking about it. So I'll have more. But it's going to be a little ways off. I said, it's called College Sports Tomorrow.
Maybe so. I'm just an old traditionalist. I just kind of like the things the way they are. You know, give me the Big Ten, the SEC.
But I don't want USC and UCLA going to play Ohio State and all that.
It'll take it back to being more geographical regions in a way, I think. And that way, in the other sports, and this is only for football, in the other sports, they're going to stay in the NCAA, so you could see all UCLA and USC go back to the, like remember Chip Kelly proposed this. He said that way our rowing team is not having to go up to Rutgers.
Well,
and
yeah,
and
that's going to be a lot. That's if it stays the way it is, you're going to see a lot of traveling that is kind of unnecessary.
But, oh, it is. It's crazy. So Eric Musselman, the son of Bill, will now be the coaching at left Arkansas, and now will coach at USC. And then we have Andy Enfield left USC to go to SMU, where there's going to be a lot of money to be giving up. Yeah, that's right. And let's see. And then, of course, we have the big move, which was John Calipari going from Kentucky to Arkansas. And then, Sean, why don't you talk a little bit about who's behind that and what might go on?
Well, apparently, Kentucky didn't want to do the $33 million buyout. So, but apparently, after Chris Beard and Jerome Tang turned it down, they said, oh, let's go get Calipari. So the Tyson Foods guy, John J. Tyson, the heir to that, and Rob Walton, the owner of the Broncos, who's, the Walton family, and Jared Jones got together and said, hey, let's go get him, boys. Go get that Calipari now over there, So they're behind it. And the thing, Perry and I were talking about this, Kentucky didn't want to pay the NIL, but what I've heard is they didn't want to pay for it because they were very dissatisfied with Calipari, because Calipari lived and died by the one and done, because more players are starting to stay. Even before NIL, they were starting to stay, like with Jay Wright and others, and he lived and died by it, and it was almost outgrowing him.
Yeah. And the other thing people say, oh, well, because of UMass and Memphis, it happened that, he got out just before they caught up with him. Well, this time everybody's going so fast and coming and going and coming and going for his one and done that he never got a chance to, really develop relationships. And, I got him in for a year. That's what I wanted to do. And then if they leave, they leave. So I think this time he's going to get out unscathed before anything happens.
And he claims now that at Arkansas, he wants to do it the right way. He wants to bring in players. Because as you find out, more of these guys, when you get to be veterans in the team, your team is more likely to do well.
Right.
The one it does, it's a phenomenon. I get it. But when you have guys that hang around for 3-4 years, you do better. Let's get these hands in here.
They're getting tired.
Bill in Chicago is first, and then Dick, you're next. So Bill, go ahead, and then we'll get to Dick.
Yeah, real quick. I noticed during the tournament, especially on the women's side, when Iowa was playing, most sports guys I know didn't really like her. But they really wouldn't come out and say it, but they'd always say, oh, well.
You're talking about the ones like on ESPN?
Yeah, ESPN, and even on WGN up here, they were the same way. They were like, well, they didn't like the idea that she had beaten all points even on the men and the women. They didn't like she set all new records and everything else, and it was a woman, and you could tell. And also, I think I caught this after you guys were on last Tuesday. Somebody mentioned to me, did you know that I think one of the men's game the week before, I forget which team was it, UConn and somebody? Anyways, I forgot. Did you know that the three-point line was 9 inches shorter than one?
It was a women's game.
Texas and North Carolina State.
Texas
and Portland State. Right. Portland, yep. Oregon.
I'm surprised no one disputed that.
They'd already played some of the game, and they decided it's been fair for, let's just finish it, because now we'd have to replay. They didn't notice it. If they noticed it before the game, they might have done it, but they'd already started to play. So they just decided, the coaches agreed to just let it go.
Well, my understanding, to be honest, what caused it to go on is if they would have had to delay it was going to be like 4 hours, so the game would have then been on ESPN and not ABC, and they would have wanted to be on
they
ABC.
They wanted to stay on ABC. Yeah.
Yes, go ahead, Dick.
Hello, everybody.
How's it going?
I'll tell you what, this football, this is getting crazy. I mean, all these different, let's leave it the way it is. I think this is nuts.
Well, if you have a division, Dick, the way it is okay for like Northwestern. You're mostly going to keep playing, and then your teams in the Midwest. I don't know who your college team is, but if you put the divisions together, you're going to have a lot of good rivalries, especially
the old rivalries.
That have been split up. It's not like West Virginia. West Virginia is running all over the place. They could go into the East. They could go into, I forget, Sean had them one place, I had them another. But, you could see traditional things that West Virginia used to do, like playing, I had them playing Pitt and stuff, and that's good, instead of having them go to Texas all the time,
Well, Purdue had WJOB had the Purdue feed last night.
Oh, good. Okay.
They did.
Yeah, I got them on the WA in that station in Lafayette. So anyway.
Oh, see, I tried to find the Connecticut. I the W
was. It was on. Yeah, it was in Hartford. Yeah, 99.97.9.
I didn't know that one. Oh, yeah. Did somebody say that the Athletic is on Newsline? Because I am.
Yes. Yes, it is. What you do, Dick, is you go on when you get on. When you go on, you go to the five. Gets you into your. You know, the reading news, and then you go to breaking news, you hit 9 because, you know, to go to the next list, and then it's great. Number 4, and it is fantastic. I would recommend that to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Very good, Dick.
All right. Let's finish. See, we can finish this college. A lot of college. Bronny will declare for the NBA draft and the transfer portal. He's not taking any chances. He's just going to do something.
He's going to Duquesne. He's going to Duquesne now. He's not going to go in the NBA draft. I think he's going to transfer to Duquesne. Because it looks like it's LeBron. His coach at Duquesne is either his godfather or his siblings. One of his siblings' godfather.
Okay.
I have heard the same thing. I've heard the same thing, Sean, but I don't think that's official yet. But I have heard the same thing, Duquesne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we got Indiana State coach Josh Schertz took the head coach job at St. Louis. You know, for the men's team, of course, the women already won the NIT, and that's funny. The men's NIT finalist goes to the men's NIT finalist goes to the other men's thing that won the women. And let's see. Okay. All right. Well, we already talked about the 13-point thing with UConn with all these, these 12 games in a row. And we already talked about Calipari. So I think we're done with college.
I think we are.
It kind of ties in college basketball or college sports and masters kind of going together just real quick. Yep. Sean McManus, CBS Sports president, he worked his last event last night with the, he's retiring. He's with the NCAA tournament. And he, of course, he was the guy that got the SEC to CBS. He got the NFL back to CBS. He got the CBS Turner deal. So his last event. And of course, this weekend is Vern Lundquist's last Masters, his last ever event to broadcast. So, all right, there we go.
This is the night, the Champions Dinner. I know they always do that on, I think it's Tuesday night. So we'll see. We'll maybe find out what they had. What was it? Sometimes, I think one time, like they had, they usually have steak and stuff and good stuff. Sometimes somebody wanted from somewhere and had sushi, And come on, guys. Anyway. So baseball, we had some different things happening with stadiums and, things and futures of teams. Kansas City election to extend the sales tax to build a stadium for the Royals deal failed 58% to 42%. And I guess the pollsters were thinking it was going to be close. But
they thought it was the Royals and the Chiefs, by the way.
Yes. And that was in Jackson County to extend tax for 40 more years. And $1.3 billion, and Royals for the Chiefs, and $800 million for the Royals, I think, and for renovations for the Chiefs. And Royals have a lease through 2030. And basically the bottom line, as I understand it, is nobody's really going anywhere.
Nobody's going anywhere.
In Missouri, they'll go to Kansas.
Right, which is just maybe a county or two over. So, I mean, the Chiefs and the Royals are going to be there. Now, the wife of John Sherman, the owner of the Royals, of course, had to come out. There's always that guy or that woman. This could mean we can. It's like, don't go there, because if you wanted to pass in the future, that's probably not the right thing to do.
No. And I guess San Antonio and Austin had to tell everybody they were interested. So get that out of the way. They have to do that. The Dodgers placed relief pitcher Brustar Graterol on the 60-day IL and they acquired a left-handed pitcher, Nick Ramirez, from the Yankees for cash, and Graterol has a shoulder problem. San Francisco traded Joey Bart. Remember, we talked about him last week being cut, and he'd been a good prospect. Traded him to the Pirates for a minor league pitcher and didn't want to wait for the waivers. They were able to get something. So usually you just let the guy go, but they were able to get something.
And the Pirates didn't want to wait on the waivers because they wanted him. And they thought if they waited on the waivers, somebody would claim him ahead of them.
Like the A's or whoever.
Yep.
Yeah, there were teams, especially because it goes by current standings, and there would be one of the last teams. They're off to a good start. So Blake Snell started last night, and I guess he gave up, and Robert can come in and talk about this because he had talked about it before, but I guess he gave up 3 runs in 3 innings, but he struck out 6 people. So, and he did pitch 72 pitchers. So that was early. You know, we thought maybe these guys who signed around opening day wouldn't even pitch until middle of May, but there he was pitching already.
And apparently Scott Boras has it in Jordan Montgomery's contract that he has to be in the big leagues by this Sunday.
Wow.
So whether he's ready or not, he's coming.
That's right. And then Robert can, you can maybe unmute Robert if he wants to talk about DirecTV, because he called him up the other day and found out about extra innings. And it's cheaper this year than it's been, I guess. So if he wants to mention this about DirecTV.
Robert, are you there?
You here, Robert?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I did it backwards. I hit my unmute before I raised my hand. Sorry about that, Perry. I called DirecTV to make some changes on my package, and I happened to ask them, by the way, I haven't gotten extra innings in a few years. What's the current price? And the last time I checked a couple years ago, it was like $300, you know, and you make payments throughout the season. And they cut it in half, $150, so I went ahead and got it. So my payments will be $25 a month for the next 6 months. And I've been watching. I'm trying to watch all the teams. So when we talk about baseball, we can have decent opinions and find out about announcer changes and stuff like that. Like right now, I'm watching the Red Sox and the Orioles. So while the show's going on,
the dog is keeping.
The dog is watching them too.
Well, now, before you go back into mute land, Robert, why don't you tell us about the whole Oakland, the latest Oakland thing after the Red Sox finished up? Of course, they waited till there'd be an off day. They didn't want to do it when fans were in the stands and going on the road. Their first homestand was over. So what happened Thursday in Oakland?
They had a negotiating session last Tuesday with the city of Oakland, and they did not agree to terms. So on Thursday, and their terms, Oakland's terms were kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. But I'm not supporting John Fisher in any way because he's a jerk as far as I'm concerned. But on Thursday, he made an agreement. The A's made an agreement with the city of Sacramento. They're going to play the next 3 years in the minor league ballpark in Sacramento, which I didn't think they'd be allowed to do because that is the Giants' AAA ballpark. And I thought the Giants would be able to stop them from doing that because a few years ago, the A's talked about doing something in Sacramento, and the Giants put a kibosh on that. But apparently, the Giants have sold the stadium, the minor league stadium in Sacramento, and the minor league team, the River Cats, to the owners of the Sacramento Kings. So they own the stadium, and they own the minor league team now. So they could make the deal with the A's. The A's will be there 25, 26, and 27. And let's be honest.
At least that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least that long. But they could be there permanently because there's a lot of questions in regards to the Las Vegas situation.
Right.
And they get to keep, they'll continue to be able to receive their television revenue from NBC. They won't get as much in Sacramento as they would have gotten in the Bay Area, because last year their TV deal gave them $67 million. This year they'll get about the same, if not more, but starting next year they'll get less because Sacramento is number 20 in the media market and the Bay Area is like top 5 or top 6.
So right. Probably so, what that would make me think, Robert, is then John Fisher will try to even spend less.
Yeah, exactly.
And, it was interesting, though. I was listening to Dan Dickerson and Bobby Scales last week when the Tigers and the Mets were playing. They were in Oakland last year, the Tigers were, and Dan said, I remember this sign, and he said, this has stuck with me throughout. And the sign read, hey, Vegas, what makes you think he's going to be a better owner for you than he was us?
That's right.
And really, if you think about it, and I think, Robert, you've heard a lot of the same stuff that I have. The opinions, sadly, of a once proud organization, they are soiled.
Yeah, no. And Perry, now that I have access to The Athletic, there's interesting stories almost every other day on the Oakland situation. I mean, a lot of the Bay Area media, let's face it, they have lost interest. They're already acting like this team is gone. So it's very if they didn't have the contract with NBC for TV, the A's games may very well not be on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dickerson and Scales were saying when they were there last year, you know, broadcasting for the Tigers, it was about like a ghost town because there was nobody there.
Right.
Well, Chris, you can talk about this because you heard the Red Sox game when they were there.
About a third of the fans were Red Sox fans, and there were about 6,000. They were running down in the Globe on Sunday. Some of the last times the Red Sox played with 6,000 or fewer people, and I forget where they were, but, you know, without pandemic, you know, just in times when you're in a ballpark that could draw some fans. And no, they came in too early. Now, I still maintain the 13,000 or so. We have a little bet going on with David USF because they got 13,000 against the Guardians the first night, 13,000 some number. I think they'll beat it with the Yankees, with somebody. Red Sox came in too early. They would have done better, but, you know, it's
bear in mind, a lot of those 13,000, as I read, Robert, a lot of those 13,000 were basically people protesting the A's.
Well, and not only that, there were like 25,000 people in the parking lot on opening day. So
that will be one of their highest draws of the year. They may do a little better, but it'll be one of their highest.
Now the Yankees don't come in. The Yankees don't come into Oakland until the very last home stand of the year, Chris.
Yeah, so that's not gonna, unless the Yankees are contending and people, Yankee fans really want to see them, you know.
And the Cubs and the Dodgers, neither one come in this year. They go to those places, so that they're not going to help them.
No. Remember, the Yankees go to San Francisco in June, but they don't come back to the Bay Area until September. So, you know,
speaking of that, though, Robert, there are some weird schedules out there. I mean, the Cardinals were on the West Coast like a week ago, and I think this weekend or next week they go right back to the West Coast. The Cubs are on the West Coast now. They play San Diego, then Seattle, then Arizona. Pat was saying last night, he said, why don't they just have us do, you know, like Arizona, San Diego, and L.A. and get it all out of the way now?
Well, like, for example, Perry, when the A's come home this weekend, they'll play the Nationals, who are already in the Bay Area playing the Giants, but then they'll play the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis will be there on Monday.
Now, St. Louis may help them a little bit with fans.
Yes, they may.
Yeah.
Well, there's no more Peacock Sunday baseball. Now, the teams have not adjusted their starting times. Nobody started before like 1:35, so you may see them next year. You know, NBC wanted to have it, but MLB didn't want to do it anymore. It's just that next year they'll probably see 105 starts on Sundays again, but, you know, we don't see them now. The White Sox outfielders put Luis Robert Jr., and it's a hip injury. I think the Eloy Jimenez is not so long. He'll be back pretty quickly, I heard.
He'll be back pretty quickly, but Robert will be out a while. And, you know, if that guy would be a great player if he could just stay healthy.
That's right. Atlanta, and then now we get into the stuff, the crux of things this week. Spencer Strider will go to the IL with UCL and his elbow is being evaluated and could have.
And there is a later update on that, Chris. It sounds like at least for now, they're calling it a UCL sprain. So no Tommy John yet. I mean, whoever your team is, boy, you hope that's not, you know, there's way too many of those. But that's been going on for a while. I'll let you get through the injuries, and then we'll talk about
that. Yeah, and then Shane Bieber will undergo Tommy John. And this is his free agent year. That's a bad one. So he's going to be – so it'll be interesting to see if he stays with Cleveland while he's doing it and comes back at least for another year. Because I don't know what his relationship is with the Guardians, but, you know, we'll see how he does that. Then we got more injuries. Trevor Story, now we know, is got a shoulder issue and a diving play on Friday night, and he's now going to be out for the, he broke a bone in there. He's going to be out the rest of the season. So if they lose today, it'd be 7-4, but it's a good start. They need, we'll see, maybe they've got somebody down there, but their big prospect at short is not ready. you know, they want to keep him in double A and move him up slowly. And we've been hearing about him for 3 years. They need to go get a shortstop. I mean, I'm not, you know, you figure there's shortstops on some of these clunky teams that might be a little bit better than what they have, you know, the Colorado, like Chicago
what,
stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like from what I heard, Chris, that I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Rafaela might come in and play shortstop.
He could, but he's been doing really well in center field. So you're going to have to, but then the MLB and the Players Association, there was a good article yesterday by Jeff Passam talking about it, that the MLB and Players Association were both ridiculous. The Players Association is trying to say it's the pitch clock that's causing more injuries to the pitchers. MLB is trying to say, oh, we've done studies, but they haven't done anything to find out anything about it. But what is actually happening is the pitchers are throwing things that aren't comfortable for them to throw because the analytics say they should throw it anyway, and it's not natural for their arm. That's really what's happening.
Well, remember, I don't know if you heard this, Chris, but I think we talked about that on this show back in our very early days. I was listening to a Cardinals game, and they were discussing somebody that was injured, and Mike Shannon said, you know, as long as they're going to throw 100 miles an hour and you're going to throw like that and that hard all the time, he said these injuries aren't going to ever go away.
That's correct. And now we have Nick Favetta we've got now with an elbow strain. So we'll have to see how that happens. And the Red Sox have no real backup starting pitching to slide in there. You know, they're going to need to think about that too. I mean, if they're going to be serious about this season, but I'd hate to see them start off. And admittedly, three of the games are against the A's and the Angels aren't very good, but you go and have a 7-3 road trip. That's cool. And you know, you just don't want to ignore that and end up, you know, with a crummy year. Cause well, we've injured players, but we're not going to try, you know, and I hope that doesn't happen, but that's all I had for baseball. Anybody?
I think that pretty well covers it. I can tell you the Tigers did beat the Pirates today 5-3, and the Pirates had a 3-1 lead going to the ninth inning. David Bednar had a bad outing. He was taken out, and the fans were booing him. And Joe Block, and I'm not sure who the analyst was, but they were talking about it, and Joe Block said that was uncalled for. He said, this guy has been nails for this team. He said, it's not right to boo somebody for one bad outing. So,
but as I said, they're now contenders. So the team, people are getting serious here. They've been in the race for a whole 2 weeks. So
I'll bet Jerry's going to come in and tell me who that analyst was, Jerry.
Okay. The analyst was Neil Walker.
Okay. All right.
Now, and as a Pirates fan, Jerry, do you agree with Joe Block and Neil Walker?
Yeah, basically I do.
Okay.
All right. So we got a little NFL, and then we'll talk a little basketball because, you know, the NBA is getting down to the nub here. And I can tell you who's in the playoffs already. We don't have to worry about who's in or out. We might not know whether everybody's going to play. I'll just run down the seedings. Not going to give you all the numbers, but I'll tell you what's close. But let's do the NFL first because Carson Wentz is going to play somewhere else. He's going to play behind Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, whether he actually plays, but he's going to be there anyway.
Well, I'm sure he won't. Unless
where
Mahomes,
hasn't he been?
I'm sure he won't. Let's hope Mahomes doesn't get hurt. Robert, you put up your hand. Go ahead real quick.
Yes, one more thing on baseball. Craig Breslow spoke to the media this morning, Chris. They showed it on Nesson during the pregame show, and he indicated that they are not going to go outside and look for any infield help. They're going to use strictly the minor leagues. He said, these people are ready to play, so that's who we're going to use.
I'm guessing, Chris, that's not what you wanted to hear.
No.
He said, only in extreme emergency are we going to spend any extra money on this position. So there you go.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, hey, David Hamilton had a nice game Sunday. So let's just see. I mean, maybe he can do it. Last year, a glaring weakness for this team was shortstop. That's all I'm saying. So I don't know. They got some different people. We'll see if somebody can help. But you're not bringing up the prize rookie because he's not ready yet. So that's all I'm saying.
Well, and probably they would want to keep him down there anyway. Even if he was ready, they wanted to get that extra year.
He's double A, and he was hurt last year some. And you know, so but what you could do is trade if you finally decide. And this is where I hope Breslow is different than Bloom never got rid of anybody. If Breslow is a little bit different, at least say such and such a prospect, let's say Nick York isn't going to make it, we will trade him for a starter or even a low level starter to just be having the rotation, so we don't have to have bullpen games half the time, you know, which is what they were doing towards the end of last year. Stephon Diggs was traded for Houston to Houston for a 2 in 2025, a 5 in 2025, and a 6 this year. And so they're really trying to beef up. They've got 3 good wide receivers now. They brought in the guy from Cincinnati, the runner whose name is escaping me. And you know, they of course they've already got the Stroud as the quarterback. You know, so they're really putting on the charge here. And so Eric Johnson in Dallas said he'd like to take the Chiefs back if they want to come back. You know, he's ready to take them. They were there, of course, from 60 through 62 as the Dallas Texans, and they and the Cowboys both played in the Cotton Bowl, and neither of them did anything about filling it up. So, but now he says, you know, we'll be nice enough to take the to the Chiefs.
I don't think he's gonna get the Chiefs. Robert, go ahead, and then Sean, you're up after Robert.
Yeah.
Robert, go ahead.
Okay, a couple of things on Chris's NFL stuff here. Joe Mixon is who you're looking for.
Yeah,
Chris,
thank you.
As far as the running back, and interesting part of this Stephon Diggs trade, Chris read off the draft choices that Houston gave Buffalo. He had 4 more years remaining on his contract. Well, as a part of this deal, they took 3 years off of Diggs' deal. They just wiped those 3 years out like they don't count, and they gave him a $3.5 million raise for this year. So Stephon Diggs is a 1-year deal, and he'll basically be a rental. So
yep.
I don't know. Now, Sean, you're a Houston fan, and you can comment on this, but why would you wipe out somebody's contract when you trade for them? And only guarantee yourself 1 year instead of possibly 4. That doesn't make sense.
Well, I was going to comment on it also. That's kind of interesting. And yeah, it was Joe Mixon, but what I think they're going to do is they're watching to see how he does. He's not going to be their main receiver, but they think there's a couple receivers out there. Like they've talked about Xavier Worthy of Texas. Remember they have the 42nd pick. So they can get another receiver, and if Diggs is not working out, they can go get that other receiver. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking. And yeah, the mayor of Dallas, Eric Johnson. I got a comment on that. No, this is the funny part though that he's saying they can play in the Cotton Bowl until they get a new stadium because, according to him, the Cowboys don't even have anything to do with Dallas. They're in Frisco for their training and they're in Arlington. But no, it's not happening. But he tried this before. Remember a few years ago, he said something about we're going to be a bigger metro area than Chicago. We deserve an expansion team.
By the way, Chris, real fast, a MLB trade has just come down. The Minnesota Twins have acquired pitcher Michael Tonkin from the New York Mets for cash, and the Twins have yet another injury. Max Kepler headed to the injured list.
Oh, boy. All right, basketball.
And he's another one, Chris. If he could ever stay healthy, he's a good player.
Yeah. Rajon Rondo finally retired. He hasn't played.
I thought he was already retired.
I did too. 21-22 was the last time he played. And I asked David USF just for fun, how many Lakers and Celtics, how many people have been on both teams? 41 players have been on the Lakers and Celtics. You know, granted, they have 2 original teams, but still, how many have won championships on both teams? I think it's a much smaller number. But so Vince Carter, Chauncey Billups, and that's, you have to say that because that's the way the PA guy did it.
Yes.
And Jerry West are now in the Hall of Fame. Jerry West for his third time, 79 as a player, 10 as part of the 1960 Olympic team. And then for this year, he's a contributor, you know, with all his front office work. So
Michael Cooper also is now, that leaked this weekend. Michael Cooper is in for
LeBron.
Magic Johnson leaked it. Yeah, LeBron.
Yeah, Magic.
Everybody.
I'm sorry, it was Magic. Yeah. And the Hall of Fame ceremony in Springfield here on the 16th and 17th of August. So let's talk about the NBA. We know the teams that are going to be in the postseason play, either play-ins or what. I'll give you the seedings and tell you quickly what I remember of the stand. You know, this is where they were as of starting play today, and the season ends on Sunday. So we're really looking for matchups. Everybody's in who's going to get in. Celtics are in, of course. They're first. They're not going anywhere. They're at the top. Milwaukee is second. They've got to watch their backs. But there's a whole big mishmash just behind them with Orlando now third. They've been down like seventh and stuff. They're now up in third. The Knicks are fourth, and Cleveland's fallen to fifth. They were running second and third most of the time. Now, all it takes is a couple of the games to go up or down, but that's what they're doing. Indiana has the final spot that would not be a play-in right now, and then you go to Philadelphia, the Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta. So those are the play-in teams right now.
But as I understand it, the Sixers could catch Indiana.
Yes. No, this is all fluid from two through about seven there. It's all fluid. Chicago and Atlanta are going to play each other in a play-in game. We know that. And it's going to be either in Chicago or Atlanta, depending on who finishes ninth, because that hasn't been determined. So there you go. You got to watch that. But everybody who's, in other words, we're not waiting to see, can so-and-so sneak into the play-in or anything? No. These are the 10 teams in the East that will be competing next week in one way or another. In the West, they're also got the 10 teams, but what's going to happen? The big battle in the West right now, many big battles, Minnesota, Denver, and Oklahoma City are all in position to all come in for first, second, or third. Anybody could be first, second, or third among those. Clippers are kind of locked in fourth. Dallas is okay in fifth. Then you start getting down to Phoenix, New Orleans. So Phoenix is the seeded team right now in sixth. You go to New Orleans, Sacramento, the Lakers, and Golden State. The Lakers have been playing better, but they lost to Minnesota the other day. Which is okay. I mean, that's a tough team. But the Lakers have been playing very well. They got themselves moved up sort of into looking at perhaps coming in seventh or eighth and getting – you really don't want to be in that 9-10 game because you're then going to be in the a winner-take-all game. So if you at least get to 7 or 8, if you lose the 7-8, if you win it, you're the 7. If you lose it, you get to play another day because you get to play the winner of the 9-10. So we'll know what that is next Tuesday when we come on, and we'll be able to tell you what the play-in games are going to be and some of the matchup, because, of course, some will be determined by the play-in. But I just want to quickly get that done because, just so you know, so if you see there's a game between Oklahoma City and Minnesota or something, pay attention because you might want to know what's going on about the top and the West.
So and with CBS the playoffs radio, coming up, Chris, with
CBS
playoffs
radio,
coming up.
Will, they Good. Are. CBS Radio quickly will become Infinity Sports Radio April 15, so next Monday, because they just don't have any real association with CBS. None of the CBS people work there. They have a good. That's the one I like. They do sports flashes that are longer and more full. I think the talk show hosts are better. I think that's my favorite. Some people like Fox. I'm one, and nobody likes ESPN anymore. It's horrible. But I like Infinity. No. It's going to be Infinity Sports.
I do too.
Better.
Yeah, I like their updates. Like I said, they only do them once an hour. They only do them once an hour, but they're longer.
They are. And when they're scored, and I think on the weekends when there's stuff going on, they'll do it a couple of times an hour because they put in the scores and stuff. So
Robert, go ahead.
Okay, tonight the Warriors and Lakers play. If the Warriors win, they will host the 9-10 game. And if the Lakers win, the Lakers will host. It comes down to tonight. Well, this is the last meeting of the year.
Can't the Lakers move up to get out of that game, though?
They could, depending on what happens with Sacramento and a few other teams. But
and New Orleans
I'm
and
saying,
stuff, yeah.
I'm saying
right.
If they stay there, tonight's game will decide where that game is played next Tuesday.
Okay, well, that's something. But again, because we were looking for quite a while at a Laker-Warrior matchup for sure. But now the Lakers were getting going pretty good and could get out of that 8-9 game, 9-10 game, I mean. But Warriors will be in it.
That might still change, but I'm just letting you know that if the two of them play, tonight's game will decide where that game is.
And if you tune in to either broadcast crew, they'll be talking about that and really codify exactly how it works and what they have left to play, because that's part of it.
Yep. Well, we have about a minute, and we're going to do something fun with that minute here. Chris, if I'm going to put you on the spot before the playoffs even start, who would you say today you would favor to win the NBA?
Well, I think you have to favor the Celtics, but I'm concerned because they are not good in closing out games that come down to the end. They always want to give it to Tatum, and everybody knows that they always want to give it to Tatum. And this is the concern, and you can't do this. You've got Jaylen Brown, you've got Holiday, you've got Porzingis, you've got other weapons. It doesn't have to just be Tatum. But you have a hierarchy here, and it's his team. Let him win it or lose it. Yep. And sometimes he goes for threes when they're down by two. Get the tie. Go drive. Get fouled. He's always trying to do. They just got to work on the close of games.
Yep.
And if they lose it, it's because they're going to screw that up.
One word answer, Sean. Who's your NBA favorite? And then Robert, one word answer your favorite. Go ahead, Sean.
Oklahoma City.
Hey, Robert.
Denver.
OK, Okay, that is it for us. We'll be back next week, and we'll see how these predictions hold out. Book Talk is coming up next. Record.